I suppose one could say that this woman seemed to be an unlikely saint, but there are no unlikely saints. We're all designed for it. She was going about her daily routine, and then Jesus comes into her life deliberately. There are so many instances in Scripture where the scribes and Pharisees were at Jesus to tell them who he was, and he wouldn't do it. Most of the time, he never talked about the fact that he was really the Son of God, the Messiah. But in this instance, she doesn't even ask him, and he tells her who he is. He barges into her life in the midst of the daily routine and reveals himself to her. But she had no ulterior motives there. She was just doing what she was doing. And she treated him in a modest way. And so he promises her living water. And so she wants to have at this water. And he says, go tell your husband, or go get your husband. And she says she doesn't have one. And then he tells her the truth. He lets her know that he sees her on the outside and on the inside as well. This is not any ordinary man who's speaking to her. You have had 5 husbands, and the one you have now is not your own. So he lets her know that he's aware that she is living in sin. This fact does not drive him away from her. It compels him to come closer, because he came for sinners. She did not deny what he had said, because the fact that he knew it was unusual. I mean, there was no way he could have known it other than by a spiritual way. So she was living a lie, and he shined a light on her darkness. Her life would never be the same from that moment on. She met the truth that day, with a capital T, and her lie disappeared. The funny thing about the lie represents nothing. Once the truth is acknowledged, there is nothing, there's no lie left. The truth is simply that which is. I remember when I was down in San Diego getting a phone call once on the radio, and from a man in Arizona. I may have mentioned this before, but it's a true story, and I think it's appropriate. He didn't have a question. Most people who call the program had a question. He didn't have a question. But he had 3 children, and the youngest was 5 years old. And she was born with a defect in her lymph nodes, and they would drain. And so she took a lot of care. The doctors didn't expect her to live more than 2 years. She was 5 by this time. And he and his wife had to be pretty tired. And I told him that. I said, you know, you're doing this, you're caring for her day in and day out. That takes a lot of energy, and one would get tired. But I said, you wouldn't think of abandoning her because you love her. And I said, this cross that you have is a glorious thing, because it reveals to you, by your own experience of loving this child who is so difficult to care for, it reveals to you the kind of love the Lord has for you and for everyone else. He's giving you a taste of the love he has for you. Every time you have to get up and take care of her, as unpleasant as it might be sometimes, you were loving her. and he is loving you. I remember his response was, that's good stuff. Of course it's good stuff. It's the best stuff. It's who Jesus Christ is, and it's who we are in face of him. So this woman, same thing. That love of Christ touched her, and she couldn't let go of it. And interestingly enough, once she saw it, her previous life meant nothing. That's what I mean when I say that her sin disappeared, her evil disappeared. That's what happens when we recognize our sin and are sorry for it. His love transforms us. Father Ben Groeschel used to say that the crosses in our lives are not stumbling blocks, they're stepping stones. If we recognize why they're there. We all have them. I preach on this a lot because they're there every day. You know, we need to be encouraged to focus on why they're there. As unpleasant as they may seem, they are ways of loving him back. They draw love out of us, or at least they can. And after all, what matters more than that? This is what we were designed for, and please God, this is the way we'll die. Loving him. Recognizing our dependence on him and that we're weak on our own, but we have strength in him. So when we recognize our weaknesses, our sins, and we repent, he shines his light on our darkness. And we recognize that our sins disappear, and all that is left is him. All that is left is him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.